what, December 8th? Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time today, Lord. Oh, you be with us, O Lord, that we would feel your love, your goodness, your truth, your presence, O Lord. And Lord, that we would be able to enter into your place of truth, your place of love, enter into your life, O Lord. Oh, that you might do that good work, Lord. Oh, that the things that are brought today would be from your heart, not our own thinking, but your heart, O Lord. But your
yes, yes.
You do that good work.
Yes. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I had a dream a few days ago. I told Kirky a little bit about it. And anyway, I knew right after, as soon as I woke up, I knew that, that this was a dream from the Lord. And if it was a I'll try to give my rendition of it. We have a habit, especially in this country. I don't know about other countries, but we have answers to a lot of things that we really don't have answers to. And we have people teaching Bible studies and, like the Promise Keepers. And we teach them, teach the husbands how to be a good husband, and how to do exactly what they're supposed to do, and so forth. And in reality, it's a waste of time, because in the end, few there be that find it. Many are called, and only a few of those are chosen. And God is the one that is going to do the choosing, and He's going to take those that that do what He asks them to do. You know, Jesus says, "My mother and my brethren and those who hear the word of God and do it." And what we learn in our head, is not necessarily what is going to make us the calls or the children, you know? Head knowledge is not really where it's at. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and here's what it says. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation." He's a creation. It's not something a man did. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. And old things are passed away. Behold. And there should be an emphasis on it, but I don't see it in here. But behold, all things are become new. And and then the next verse says, "All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation," meaning that we are to reconcile men to Him. Well, anyway, I thought this was in 1 Peter 4:1. There is such a thing. It's in 1 Peter 1 or 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, the word of God." That's really basically all it's saying. "And by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So what is it that causes us to be changed into the image of God through Christ? It's not something that we can do. We can't learn it from men. We can't learn it even from one another. And that's why it says that the prophets speak, and then if there's anything we reveal to another that says, by that the first word is peace, that you all may learn. That's the learning process. Not the learning of men's ideas of how to be changed into something that God likes. We don't even know what He likes. It has to be a work of the Spirit. It has to be done through the Word of God. And that's why it says, Jesus, it was in one place, or I can't remember exactly where it says, but it says that by God's, of His own will or something, He beget us by His Word of truth. You remember where that is?
I've read it, but I don't remember where it is.
No, I've read it too. I don't remember it exactly, but it says, of his own will, He beget us. You know, just like the only begotten Son. He beget us. And it's very specific. By His word, or through His word of truth. Find it? Very
easy.
I'm thinking it's in Peter, but I'm not sure.
This is that line you're looking for?
By His will beget.
It says beget. And King James says beget, but we do it to God or whatever. We are.
By His word beget?
Yeah.
James 1:18, of His own will began He us with the word of truth, and
yes.
He should be kind of first fruits of His creatures.
Yeah, that's it. How come I can't remember that?
I don't know. Considering you remember the other 25,000 scriptures, I'm really disappointed you dropped the ball on that one.
But see, you know what we do? We don't see exactly what it says. It says, of His own will. This is His will. You know, God's will is for all men to be saved. Well, it's the same thing here. Of His own will. He begot it. And the same, exactly, not exactly the same, but He begot us as we were His only begotten Son. He begot us with the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures.
You know, I think a terrible mistake that Christians or the church or whatever can make is to say that this stuff has happened. It hasn't happened.
No.
It has not happened. I am not a new creation. I'm an old creation. And not by being, by His word of truth. And it is, you rob God when you say it's already occurred. No. These things are promises for what's ahead. We're kind of treading water or something until that good thing is done in us.
Yeah. Yes. It's like you're talking about that. You know, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yeah. We become a new creation as soon as we are in Christ. That's why it says that if we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. We finally become Christians.
Yeah. Now, maybe it's some kind of little bit of a measure, you know, like a reverse echo or something.
Yeah.
Something has happened, but, there's something bigger and fuller and realer or whatever than what we've experienced, or at least what I've experienced. Before.
Well, one of the sad things is to not find out this until it's too late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why it takes God to teach us. We can't learn. We there's only so much to do, and a lot of times we don't really learn from one another. Sometimes we do more damage than good. You know?
Only sometimes? Giving yourself a lot of credit there, Ryan?
I would give us a little bit of leeway.
I'm trying to find, there's somewhere where it says, that you come to the Lord not by whatever or the will of man, but by the will of God. You know, I mean, it's kind of that by His will begot. And I love how it says it, but I can't find it because it takes all credit away from man and gives it all to the Lord. You know,
we see so much evidence in the scriptures, in the things that Jesus said, you know, how did he say that in John 8? You should know the truth. How did that whole start? How did it start? Verse 31. If you continue in my word, is that it?
If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah. Okay, so if. See, if. Well, it's easy to miss the if. You know, well, I'm kind of busy. I don't know that I'll spend a lot of time in the Word. But he says, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciple. Is that important? It's not only important, it is vital. I don't know if there's a lot of difference between the two words, but it's vital. And so, God opened the door to us to listen to His Word. That's not common. And if you do that, if you're doing it, you're an exception. And according to 2 Peter 1:4, by doing so, we eventually become partakers of God's divine nature. Now, what is God looking for? What did He find? What developed His Son? His nature. He's looking to have that nature develop in us. And the only way it happens, it doesn't happen by somebody teaching us something off the top of his head, you know what I mean? It only comes as we hear the Word of God and it develops something in us. And what is happening to us? There's a development. We're being changed. And it's not by the messages of a teacher someplace and really is not living it himself, you know?
No, they take secular psychology.
Yeah.
Pop psychology and then put a Christian sheen on it.
Yeah. There was I won't be so specific, but there's a pastor, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but the local theory, Pentecostal pastor, and he preached for a number of years in one of the local churches, and while he was pastoring, he was also taking a course in college on psychology, And so he retired from the church, and I won't be any more specific than that, but anyway, he opened up his own practice of psychology.
Follow the money.
Well, but if he was doing that, what exactly was he teaching? Well, he's learning. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's a big market for Christian psychologists, though.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ironic because when I went to junior college for a while and I took all these stupid courses of psychology, psychiatry, and something all in one term, and I actually, I think I shared this before, but so in the one, sociology or something, it's they say you want to come up with an answer that satisfies all the people in the world. That's the goal, kind of. Wow. Of course, you can't. But I remember I was pondering all these things so hard that I actually, I kind of like blacked out for about a week. It's like I don't remember anything else that was going on. It just overpowered me. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm racking my brain for something that there's no answer to, you know, because it was started from man, and so, you know. And of course you can't come up with something that is right for, well, this is what's right for everybody, but not everybody's going to accept it. So this is, you know, it's interesting when you're thinking back now, this is the answer, and it is the only right answer, and it has nothing to do with psychology. You know, it has to do with the message of the gospel of truth. And I was just reading in Colossians, right in the beginning there, it says, he's saying, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also come in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. So if it's not bringing forth fruit, you don't have the gospel of truth. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew, I love this, the grace of God in truth. The grace of God in truth. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I'll stop there.
So, if God begets us to truth, then what about anything that is not truth?
Yeah.
What about all these different theories that men have that are, you know, that are in churches that are not so?
You know, I've been pondering also because I still get these emails from this couple that's they're missionaries over in Albania, and I struggle because I've never responded to anything, giving or otherwise, because I know at one time I shared just a touch of what we had learned and God brought us to by listening to the word and didn't kind of take. So it's bothering me because it's like, of course, now I just realized you got to be careful because if all of a sudden you present them what the Lord has given us as truth, well, then they become responsible. You know, Jesus said, well, until I spoke the words to them, they had no sin. But now, you know, so you almost want to be careful that you don't prematurely put them in that position. But it's kind of been in my heart lately that I just almost, I want to say, and that's that country over there is totally struggling. I mean, it's really dark ages kind of. And then they just had a massive earthquake. But it's like, how much effect are you really having if you're not presenting the true gospel? Now, God, in His grace, touches people, you know, I mean, they hear something, and if it affects their heart and they accept him, well, that's something that he did, you know, with his Holy Spirit. Somehow he honored, you know, the word that was presented to them. But for them to keep continue to grow or do whatever, it's kind of like they're kind of in a stalemate, really. You know, aren't you? I mean, you're kind of shackled if you don't have the basic truths of the gospel. And that's who Jesus Christ is. I mean, if you're not presenting him as he truly is, then are you presenting the true gospel, you know? But in ignorance, there's grace, you know? So that's the tricky part. And I don't want to just all of a sudden reply and lay down all a bunch of scripture stuff. If it's just, I need it to be, if it's going to happen, to be unctioned by the Lord and anointed by the Lord to do it, you know. But it seems like it's getting closer, you know. So, whatever.
In those cases.
Huh?
Maybe you need to precede it with prayer that their hearts will be open.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I've asked that already at times, but not a lot. But
it's up to them to open their hearts.
So. Yeah, right.
You know, people that have all the answers aren't too interested in hearing some more answers.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
and it's a little tough.
And that's a tough area to disciple because the men are not,
well,
the men rule more or less, and they're not real open, and so they're get more women than they do men, but and then it's hard for the women because they can't totally, they don't want to upset their whole family or whatever, you know, dynamics. So, but, you know, whatever. It's just, I struggle with that because I want to, I don't know, I just struggle with it because if where I'm at, it's like I can't support falsehood, you know.
You raise a really interesting concept where you say, I don't want to jeopardize their salvation by giving them truth. Because if they're not ready to receive the truth, then they jeopardize their salvation.
Yeah.
And you go, you know, and I...
But are they
supposed to say no? Well, but the thought, you know, because I'm listening to Ken, and I understand, and I want, I don't know how much I want to get in the middle of whether they are or not, and taking, you know, God's in control. So, but the question is, you certainly don't want to stumble someone. And so, you know, so as we always say, you know, boy, you pray about it and try and be, you know, in love. Share what you think God has opened the door for, because you know that there are certain people, certain situations you can start the land back in the truth, and if they're not ready, it won't rise the boat, but it will sink it. And so, like I said, the concern I have is like, I don't want to hold back this unless I have a concern that they're not ready to receive, and that's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I think it's legitimate to expect a green light from the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, I'm thinking if it's to happen one of these days, it would just be like, I've got to do this.
You've got to do it.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, and I think back to even our situation where someone presented this to us pretty clearly, you know, 2.5 decades ago. Got out of it 25 years or 20 years later, 15, whatever.
Right.
It wasn't immediate.
Yeah, right.
And so.
And I remember how angry I was when I first, you know, I was like,
the only
thing you expect me to do that, you know? And I was actually angry. I really was. And I had to really repent of that.
Yeah.
When I finally got the revelation. But I tried to keep my heart open.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't when I was angry.
The only time the message, you know, before I got saved, the only time I was affected when it was pretty clear that the Holy Spirit was right in there, in the whole deal. That's the only time. And it happened a couple times. And the Holy Spirit was just plain. I didn't recognize it as the Holy Spirit, of course. But looking back, it was pretty obvious that the Holy Spirit was there. Without the Holy Spirit, there is just nothing that is the least bit attractive or appealing about, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as you look back, you can look back now, because of what you've been receiving, you can see that nothing is effective unless that's there.
Right.
And you know that it was there when it affected you,
uh-huh.
You know? Because
right.
Why all of a sudden this day did, you know, it have an effect?
Right.
And it's the Holy Spirit being God, of course, knowing every person's heart. And he knows when they're ripe to be,
sure.
You know,
right.
Harvested.
I think it's really fair to say that nothing overcomes flesh but the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And so if you're talking to someone who has been, and I go to men prayer meetings every morning, I go to services 5 times a week, and there's 3 Bible studies, and oh, by the way, someone comes and tells you, and you're all wrong, and you're missing the revelation. Those people are not going to be convinced by your words.
No.
God, on the other hand, can do anything.
Yes.
But it's kind of like, let's get me on.
You know, I don't know, did you want to share something?
No.
I was looking at, I think it was in John.
I want to read something while you're looking.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Kind of
what you're.
Yes. That's right.
I think it's when Peter first preaches. But what I thought was interesting, like, basically what it was saying is that God sent Christ, and it's Peter, sent Christ to you with signs, wonders, and miracles. And that just caught me for some reason this morning, and I thought, isn't that interesting? Why didn't it just say God sent Christ anointed with the Holy Spirit to minister? But he actually even used Christ with signs, wonders, and miracles. And then he, right after that, used Peter and all the apostles and the disciples to do the same thing. So, you know, when the Holy Spirit's ready to move, it doesn't mess around. You know, and it kind of, it comes with power.
Yeah.
You know, so seeing that, knowing that the signs and wonders was only to get their attention to the truth, you know, to bring the truth. If you look at it, you know, like what was happening, it was always there to present a message. So you don't dwell on it, you know, but it, because, I mean, when Peter, you know, and John go to the guy sitting at the gate, beautiful, and he's lame from birth for 40 years, and all of a sudden he's jumping up and down. It got the people's attention, you know.
Including the Pharisees.
And then Peter had to then say, hey, wait a minute, though. This ain't from any of our godliness or goodness. This is, and then he explains, because of who Christ was and was resurrected by faith in that name, he says, this man was raised.
Yeah.
You know, or healed or whatever. So.
I always, noodling on this off and on, but I always took it to mean that signs and wonders and miracles were a way to make up for lack of faith. Because they didn't have the faith that he was who he was or could do what he said, you know. But that he showed them something where they would believe without having faith. They just, the water parted. Okay, that doesn't happen every day, you know. Because there's a somewhere in the Gospels where Jesus makes a comment that, you know, even with the signs and miracles, you know, you're not becoming believers.
It is a funny thing, isn't it? Signs and miracles, that'd be great to have. But, you know, when Jesus told the disciples, follow me, and they dropped their nets and followed him, he didn't do it with any miracles. He just told them. And they did it, you know. So the Holy Spirit must have been there in some kind of big way.
But leading up to that, Jesus did something that we're familiar with and we don't think about it. He told Peter, told him, he said, put some debt down on the other side of the boat. That happened before that.
That one, yeah. Okay, sure enough, that did happen once.
Anyway, Peter said, Lord, he says, I need to depart. He said, I'm not worthy of your presence or something.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was before that they got all the fish in the nets, broke the nets. And
that's true. I wonder what they did with the fish after that. Because they pulled it all up.
Well, you know, I think that's how some of their sustenance was. Because they could go sell all the fish at the market and keep, and then have, you know, something to keep them going while they're walking with the Lord. And which is why Jesus would maybe do that. Not that they had, I mean, he could have kept them fed and everything, but.
There's a coin out of the fish's mouth.
But I found the scripture I was talking about. It's in 2:22 Acts. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death. So, I mean, obviously, miracles, signs, and wonders doesn't always have a positive effect because it didn't help. You know, they still crucified him after he, you know, Peter saying, after he did all these things in front of you, and then you still took him and crucified him.
That was the basis for verification of what he was, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, look, he did all this stuff. What more for you? He can't be something more, but yeah.
Mm. And it kind of gives the answer. I mean, a man attested by God, whom God, through him, you know, working through him.
And on the day of Pentecost, Peter refers to Jesus as a man approved by God.
Well, that's where this is, you know. That's what I just read. It doesn't say approved, it says attested by God in the New King James. Yeah, that's the same. And then later on, every time he refers to him, it's as the Lord's servant.
Yeah.
You know, the Father's servant. His son was his servant? Yeah. You know, evidently.
You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and a lot of them were taught by a man named Gamaliel. You remember the name Gamaliel?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Paul has given his, I don't know what to call it, a resume or something, but his story, and he's done, you know, a Hebrew of the Hebrews and of the Pharisees and, you know, all these things. And you know what he says? I count all of this as done. But although it is mature, or manure, for the something of knowing Jesus Christ. And you know, I got to be careful. I mean, this will be on the CD here, but so much of the Bible colleges and the things are, what they have is after an organization's beliefs. You know, I'll be real specific. If it's Baptist, what you learn in that Bible college is Baptist.dogma. Their doctrine, that's what you learn. And so you present, you develop another generation. And most of them are, you know, not, they're anti-speaking in tongues, which is the basis for the spiritual thing that God is bringing about. You know, we're stammering lips in another time, we're like, would he speak to those people? God is bringing about a whole generation of his, of what he wants through things that people don't agree with. Did you follow what I'm saying? So it's being taught, you know, like the Pharisees. They kept on teaching the things that Paul says, I count all of these things that I learned as, you know, manure. That wasn't really saying that he was in favor of it, you know what I mean?
That's interesting. That it must be the same Gamaliel that said, you know, about Peter and them when they were preaching, they brought him in, and he said, you know, he gave the examples of guys that tried to do something and it didn't turn out, and he said, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing, but if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. So that's the guy that Paul must have studied under, right?
Yeah.
Because it says he's a Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people.
That's the same guy.
Yeah?
Yep.
So he had been given some wisdom.
Yeah, that's wise.
You know.
Yeah, that's good. I wonder if he was wise enough to accept the gospel itself.
Yeah, right.
You know, you were talking about the Baptist and so forth. I've shared this before, but I'll do it again. You know what a apostle is? There was a thing a long time ago that was alive. And then the shape of that apostle got filled in with a bunch of other stuff. Dead stuff. It retained its shape. But there's nothing alive about apostle. So
that's good.
You know, it's got the shape of a thing that was once alive, but that thing is dead now. There's no life in that. No. And that is so true of so many. You know, I'm sure the Baptists, there was life there at one time.
Yeah.
And it retains something of the shape of it now, but that thing's not alive. That's dead. And it's, you know, it's still got the form, kind of, but it's not alive.
Can I say who it was that said that?
Oh, sure.
I just see that teaser.
You know, that kind of shows that, see, once saved, always saved. You can be born again, but don't go anywhere, then how much salvation have you retained?
Yeah.
You know, you don't become converted if that's where you stop. I mean, just like, I'm kind of thinking, even to this point, I don't feel like I've been totally converted. You know?
Life things move around.
Yeah.
You know? If there's no movement, no, you know.
And you're preaching the belief, but of an unfolding revelation.
That's right.
And if you don't have that, you stop at wherever you stop. But if you are not open to the Holy Spirit continuing to work in you, you are not continuing to get God's truth.
Yeah, why would it say if once you're born again, you're good, you get the ticket? Why would it say the Holy Spirit needs to lead and guide you into all truth?
Yeah.
You know?
There's a scripture that I've read. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And it says that God has given that the ministry of reconciliation, but He has given to us that ministry to reconcile the world to Himself, to Him. And He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, and that's what, kind of what we're talking about. You know?
Yes, that's right.
I was just reading here in 2 Peter. Let's see, where should I start? For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were in the beginning.
Boy, that's the exact answer. Yeah, that sure gives an explanation to not born again, always, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Yeah, that's another term, isn't it? It's like, it doesn't even count for nothing. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Yeah, so big deal.
You gotta run the race and end.
Yep.
Yeah. Got to run the race to the end.
To the end.
And that's why I every now and then just say it's unfolding revelation, and we don't have it all. And I think you can even look at Jesus' ministry. I don't think he had it all when he started. I think it was he kept getting revelation during his ministry.
Mm-hmm. He got what he needed when he needed it.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Which, so if you're going to say, you know, even Christ was an ongoing, you know.
How can we expect to be anything different?
How can we expect to be
anything
different?
It's just so funny. I just, so remember I said, I don't know where it is, something about the will of man or whatever. I just opened, now I've just spawned it in. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Where did you find that?
That's in John, 1:13, Gospel of John.
I was just getting started.
But you know, it's interesting. I heard something this morning because it was also playing on the thing at home. And I heard John, like, do you consider John the Baptist a prophet?
Yeah.
He really prophesied there in John 3 or so.
Yeah, but you know when he says it, it's kind of, and I believe he was considered a prophet, but in his eyes, he says, and I probably won't find this either, but he goes, I am the one who is foretelling of the prophet. Mm-hmm. So it was like he wasn't even using prophet for himself because he knew there was a greater one coming, which, you know, it said that Moses, there will be a prophet greater than
him. Certainly it's quite a prophecy that John the Baptist gives there regarding Jesus.
Yeah.
Ministry and so forth.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard to reconcile that with him. Are you, when he laughs later on, are you the one or should we wait for somebody else? You know, I guess you don't always hear your own prophecies. So.
Which makes sense because a lot of times the Spirit comes upon you and you don't really, on a natural level.
It's not you.
It's not you.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then you go, I'm not this good.
Where'd that come from?
Where'd that come from?
Jesus referred to him as a prophet.
You're right.
He said, there was no prophet.
No. Greater than John.
He was so humble, though, that he didn't want to.
Hey, and you know, listening to that, so this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who was preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. So that makes it sound like Jesus always was or something. But if you're coming to prophesy of one that's coming, well, then you know that God had already. Otherwise, John wouldn't know who he was talking about if he hadn't already known that Jesus was in the plan, or you know, he was
in the mix.
Yeah, that
John had received some revelation.
Right. I mean,
but some of those.
But it's because that's why he said, you know, don't pay attention to me because I know of one who is greater than me that's coming that I, you know, that God had revealed to him, obviously.
Sounds like he didn't want them to have their eyes on him and miss
right.
the greater.
Yeah. So he would have known him, you know, Jesus, like he says, he was preferred before me. Well, John knew that. He knew that the one he was for was greater than him, you know.
Okay.
So... yeah, it
just occurred to me that the very fact that there is prophecy in which there's foretelling the future or whatever means that you are not in a circumstance which is bound by time. You have entered into some measure of eternity.
Yeah.
By being able to prophesy the future. You know, if you're bound by time, hey, there is no future. You know,
not
until
it gets here.
No. You've entered into it, in a measure,
yeah.
Into eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why people tend to look at prophets as fortune tellers. In the natural, you tend to think of some of the prophets are going to foretell you of something, which is not exactly a correct concept. Mm-hmm.
Well, there might be some full prophecy. I don't know. It goes on.
Well, I think where I was listening to the Pharisees were asking John who he was. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? You know, John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you to whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. And then he repeats it again later about.
Isn't it interesting that that powerful prophecy should be expressed to the Pharisees, suggesting that the Lord was, hey, Pharisees, you know, he wanted the Pharisees to be entering into the truth here.
Well, you know,
wanted to give him a chance.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read back far enough. So they came to him. Says, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. So, you know, then they said to him, who are you that we may give you an answer? Well, I think why he was sent to, because then he quotes, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, which is Old Testament, of course, as the prophet Isaiah said. That, and so,
I think when they asked him if he was the prophet, what they would have been referring to was Moses saying there in Deuteronomy,
yeah,
right. There'll be a prophet greater than I.
Right. But it's funny why it presents Christ, Elijah, and then prophet. You know, why Christ and prophet aren't put together.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but then they didn't have any understanding of either, so, you know.
It's also kind of interesting how John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the prophet.
And as the Christ.
And as the Christ when he sees him and and says, hey, I'm not worthy to do this. And Jesus says,
so he had gotten some revelation, obviously.
Well,
you know.
I mean, up to that point, you don't hear that the two doing their various things have intersected at all.
Right.
Other than there's that setting where the two mothers come together and John leaps in the womb. So even then, prior to his birth, something had happened that he recognized on a level before either one was born, and yet so he knows him when he comes. But we're not given any insight that they had bumped into each other anywhere along the path, as I recall. Maybe I'm forgetting of something.
You know, I wonder about in the same area, because Elizabeth and Mary.
Yeah,
we're related.
They're related. So John.
And how is it that John wasn't aware of Jesus?
They never got together at a Passover or a family gathering. And I don't mean to be glib, but I mean, you would have thought.
Yeah.
But it's not recorded.
It's not important to know.
Yeah, he says that he was told, or something, the one that he saw the Spirit be on it, and aboard or something. He says, how did you say that? I don't know.
You referred to right after
Christ. Well, here's kind of the thing, though. She had to travel to go to her house. Then,
yes.
And then she went back. Well, then when John is born, I think it says he was filled with the Spirit. But where does he go when he's, say, I don't know what age he was. He goes into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is over here, and he hasn't developed his ministry yet. So, if that's where I could see where they
probably didn't.
They would never bump into each other at that point,
So apparently he didn't know him until.
Well, he didn't know him, but he did know.
Yeah.
He recognized
him. It might be that they, in the natural, had some contact with each other. But when this, when their ministries began, it was a whole new deal.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have had to have contact.
No,
I
don't think the scriptures preclude it, though.
Because even before John baptized him, he said, I need to be baptized by you.
Mm-hmm. He clearly knew who Christ was.
Because
he said, This is not right. I am not worthy. And Jesus said, we got to do this to fulfill. So he goes in. But as we've said, but he never seemed to be totally convinced, because later on he sends his disciples and says, are you really the one? And that always bothered me from that setting in the river to later on.
The devil does?
Yes.
Well, I think I have known things in the spirit that later on I forgot in the natural.
Absolutely.
No, I think that happens.
And he kind of, maybe, it started getting foggy because he kind of reached out on his own against whoever the king was because of the wife being with the brother. He maybe kind of did that on his own somewhat.
He did.
And so maybe some of that, the Spirit lifted a little.
Yeah, what she said, I decreased.
Yeah.
He was decreased.
So maybe that's how it happened.
Expect a natural mistake out of someone for whom the Spirit had been lifted. He goes all legalistic and stuff.
That's kind of new insight, isn't it?
Yeah. Here married his brother Philip's wife. How did she end up with the name Herodias?
not a name I would want.
Like that.
Have a name none of my kids had.
Or did Herod rename her?
It could be.
Anyway, that's not really spiritual.
No.
Funny.
It's an observation.
They were human too.
We're kind of pausing here. I have a little thing to share. I got a voicemail from Candy Friday, I think. And her and Pablo had went up to visit Eric because they found out where he was and everything somehow. Eric Parento. So she sent me a thing and said, yeah, and Sarah was there, and she said, I think, would you maybe talk to Ken, because Eric somehow kind of connected with me when I was mowing the lawn, and I prayed for him once or twice because I could see he was kind of having troubles. And so she said, see if he might want to come up and pray or whatever. And I just, the day or so before that, I drove by and I looked and over there at where he lived, and I thought, I wonder what the status of Eric is, you know? Well, he's in CCU. He's been there for like 3 weeks now. And for almost 2.5 weeks, he's not been awake.
Been in a deuce coma.
Yeah. Well, yeah, more or less. But, so when I went up, so I went up there yesterday at about 5 o'clock, and I walked up there in the room, and I never met her, but Amanda was there, which I guess is his fiance for 11 years. And so, you know, I said who I was, and then she realized I was the guy that cut their grass and stuff. And so she was explaining, yeah. But Friday, they pulled this one tube out. And not long after that, he woke up. And she said it was hard to communicate. She was trying to read his lips somewhat, but then that was it. Well, then Candy and Paolo were up there, I think, on Friday, and Candy just was saying she thought he responded to her voice or whatever. But so I'm sitting there talking with her and stuff, and I said, well, okay, do you mind if I pray? And she said, no. So she got up, went on the other side, and I stood by him, prayed and stuff, and got done. And then I thought, well, I probably should be going, you know. So I said, well, I think I'll be going. And all of a sudden, he woke up. But he can't really communicate, you know, yet. I don't know if it's because his throat's just so dry, or I don't know why, but he was kind of trying, and he was looking around and different stuff, and I laid my hand on him, was talking to him and stuff, and I think he responded and knew maybe who it was.
Was it an accident or something?
No, I don't know what brought it on, but he bleeds real easy, I guess, and what brought him to this state this time, because he was up there once before, and he aspirated, breathed his blood into his lungs, and then it started making, but his liver and his kidneys all started shutting down and everything too, so there was something else going on.
Some kind of a virus.
Yeah, I don't know, and so they were kind of at the point, she said, where they were considering just pulling everything, possibly, because they're wondering, is it going to be brain damage or whatever, you know. But now she got kind of hopeful again because what happened on Thursday or Friday. So we need to keep lifting him up in prayer.
He's at Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart, room 11 of CCU.
We had an answer to prayer with our neighbor lady. We prayed for her for cancer, breast cancer.
Your neighbor?
Yeah. She's got an all clear.
Wow.
And she went through aspiration and different things, and they'll keep an eye on her.
Yeah.
It was a very good report.
Well, she doesn't have to do the radiation or any stuff. Just take a pill and three months or 3 weeks, go back and see how that's progressing.
Prayer answered.
You were kind of poked by the Spirit, I think, Glenn. In connection with that. You acted in a way that was not real characteristic of you.
That's him lately.
But anyway, when the Spirit sends up, the Spirit sends up.
He took some chicken noodle soup up and opened the doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Butchie made sure that we got the report.
Yeah.
Mm. You know,
I was
we told
we were praying.
And we did say, well, to our said, well, praise
we're
work, okay. I'm not sure how she reacted, but she did say, yes, they do, but I don't know, it was real enthusiastic.
Still,
but admitted that they do. You know, and it's not like you say, so don't push
planet.
Too far, too hard, because you don't know where you're going to end up.
It's a seed plant, and that's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is plant the seed and maybe give it a little water now and then, make sure it's growing. You know.
Yeah. I think you can go on Facebook. She said she didn't friend Candy necessarily, but. She's what she puts on somehow ends up in Candy's Facebook through somebody, maybe Sarah or something. I don't know. So
there's
right.
It's there's a lot of a backstory here.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily going to take, but
So God is answering prayers.
Amen. And as a way of testimony, I haven't talked for a while, but things are moving forward with my little company bit by bit, and I have to travel and being asked to make an appearance, so I won't be around for a couple of meetings while I'm taking care of more and more requirements. But the fact that there's requirements is a good thing.
Yeah, right.
When are you leaving? When are you coming back?
Well, I'm out of town next Sunday, but that's a Packer game, and I'll have to see. But then the turn right around, and Monday we're going down to Ohio, and given the time of the year and the holiday season, we're going to be driving, because when you're trying to go to a little town in Ohio, it's a two-way flight, and you just weather and holiday travel, and there's just no way of being sure, so... It's a little under 700 miles, and drive that in a day, assuming that it's not a blizzard, and be able to get there early, and then we can stay late, and we don't have to worry about what time we have to get back, so if we need to stay overnight and then come back. But
a week from tomorrow, you'll be leaving and coming back whenever you come back.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be back by Wednesday, and
get
an email, and it's typical, like, I've been assigned, I'd like to see you guys face-to-face, and I'd like to do it in the next 2 weeks, and I'm not going to be in tomorrow, and in the next 10 working days, these 2 days, I'm not going to work. So they basically said, yeah, I want you here in the next 2 weeks, so you got 8 days, and here you go. And it's like, yeah, I know who's in charge here. And it's not me.
No? They're the ones with the money, you're the ones with the thing.
I'm the one that wants them to like us. So
yeah.
So, but it's... as I've been saying, it's a long process, and it'll be, if it's successful, it'll be quite an achievement. And the knowledge, it seems like, as long as we don't drop the ball, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
Which is kind of been that way for a long, long time, but then I was waiting. But God is good. And
pray that God will bless us.
Yeah.
So, anyways, giving the glory.
Yeah, we have a daughter-in-law that's kind of in a tough situation where she works for this company, but they might sell it. Somebody else might buy it, and she might be able to move up in it and get a big raise. And, we have to keep praying about that, because if she gets this job, that means we can be a little bit more financial free too. Because
we're helping to support him.
Yeah,
it's a trickle down effect there. Right?
Yeah, because like I say, it's down the road there, but we got to keep praying that it just keeps going down the road, and pretty soon, bang, there it is, and it's all done.
Yep.
But there's a lot of opportunities for people out there like in that situation, but.
I think
and she would be able to work
gone through that, and it might go through it again too.
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of hoping they go public, because she's got all kinds of shares,
mm-hmm.
and then she may. Well, she has a new CEO or whatever, and she's hoping that they gel still, kind of. But it's kind of like if it don't work out, they go public, then they cash out and go work somewhere else. and
it's good to have options.
Be pretty well off, you know. So.
Is that a play on the words, Mark? Well done.
Yeah, we should pray. Because you know what? For her sake, too, it's much better if you can be earning your living
right.
and be successful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
or providing for yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
That just always makes a person.
Right.
Yeah, right. Feel better. Feel freer.
Feel better about yourself.
Money doesn't solve all your problems,
but it,
not having money creates a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just for you, but the family in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
So, status of Sid?
He fell again yesterday.
Again. So.
They say.
Not watching him?
No, I don't think so, but I don't know. He forgets that he can't walk, and he won't push the button.
Mm.
So he gets up to try and do things.
Mm.
Some ways people do not change.
Yeah.
Stubborn.
Yeah.
I suppose we're done.
Love you all.